All right. My name is Marina Garcia. I'm 23 years old. Today's date is February 23rd, 2018, and I am speaking with Susan. We are recording this interview in Westminster, California. So state your name, your age, and where you are from.
My name is Susan Monroe. I am 52 years old, and I am from Edinburgh, Scotland.
All right. What's Edinburgh like?
Edinburgh is... Yeah, I'm going to describe Edinburgh. It's a beautiful city. It's a very old city. But it's also... It's a big city, but it's very much small town mentality.
Huh.
It's very... I would say kind of conservative in a way. But, it's a beautiful city, you know.
Yeah.
I miss it.
Yeah. What was your education like?
I graduated high school and I have the equivalent of an associate's degree.
Okay. Where did you go to school at for college?
It was called Stevenson College. It was in Edinburgh.
Okay.
It was a 2-year...
Junior college?
Junior college.
Okay. What motivated you to move to America?
I had a friend from college who came out here to California to work as a nanny, and that's what my associate's degree is in, is like early childhood education.
Okay.
And she moved out here to work as a nanny, and we kept in touch. She was out here for a couple of years, and then she came back home for a year. And after a year at home, she said, you know, I'm going to go back. Do you want to come with me? I had a really good job at the time. I was working in a special, it was defined as a special school. It's basically a special education school.
Okay.
But, you know, I was 25. I wasn't dating anyone, I wasn't married, and I thought, why the hell not? You know, it's like adventure, you know?
Yeah.
So basically I quit my job and came out here, and that was it.
Did you have anything really prepared, or was it just kind of a whim?
No, it was pretty much a whim. Like I said, I quit my job, I came out here with like $1,000 in my pocket.
Wow.
And a couple of phone numbers for nanny agencies. That was it. I knew one person. That was my friend Linda. And within probably a week, we both had jobs.
Wow.
In LA, yeah.
Where did you live after you got here?
The first jobs I took were live-in jobs.
Okay.
When I first came here, we first went to San Francisco, and we stayed with a couple of friends of my friends up there, and then after about a week we came down to LA and we did the rounds of nanny agencies, and like I said, within a few days we both had jobs.
Wow. And so is that the primary way you supported yourself after you got here?
Yeah.
Nannying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything that surprised you when you first came to America?
Anything that surprised me.
That you didn't expect from what you knew before you came here?
No, I don't think I was surprised by anything. Not that I can recall.
From when you were a kid and you think back of stories that you heard about America and American people, mm-hmm. what was it that you always thought America and American people were like? I know, it's a funny question.
I think Americans were always thought of as kind of arrogant and kind of... I mean, I'm being brutally honest.
Yeah.
Arrogant and just full of themselves, honestly. That's just how they were always portrayed. Like, everything was bigger and better in America. And it's really not. It's really the same. You know, it's...
So it doesn't hold true?
No, it really doesn't hold true, but that's how they're portrayed.
Okay. Let's see. Did you have any specific goals or dreams when you came here?
No, we just...
Kind of just did it because you could?
Yeah. It was, like I said, I was 25 and just, you know, it was an adventure. I mean, I did not plan to stay as long as I have.
Yeah.
My plan was to stay a couple of years and then go back. You know, it was just something to do, you know. It was,
yeah.
We were young and, you know, we just wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
I did not plan to stay for 25 plus years.
Get married, have two kids.
Yeah, seriously.
Buy a home, sell the home, get an apartment, have a cat and a dog. Oh, yeah. How did you cope with the changes when you first moved here?
The changes culturally or...
Culturally or... It just, even just it generally, and you know, moving from home or so far from home.
It was actually not a difficult transition. Of course, I missed my family, but it wasn't the first time I'd been away from home. I had spent time in Paris after leaving college.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't the first time that I was away from them, and I was just kind of... You know, we were just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, the homesickness was never an issue for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. It never really bothered me.
Had you visited America before you moved here?
I had, one time.
Where did you go?
I visited my friend Linda, who from college. She was in San Francisco. She was living with a guy that she had met there, and... Yeah, I was out here out in San Francisco for about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. What are any major or minor similarities or differences between where you came from and where you are now?
I feel like here... If I had stayed in Scotland, like I said, Edinburgh is a big city with small town mentalities. You know, it's not very accepting of people who are different. And here, I feel like, in general, certainly in places that I've chosen to live, that people are more accepting of people with differences. So it's... I feel like we have a better life here than we could have in Scotland, honestly. You know, we bought a house. We have a pretty nice apartment. We have cars. You know, it's... I feel like in Scotland I probably wouldn't have had that, honestly.
Makes sense.
I think the quality of life here is a little better than it is there.
Okay. What was the hardest thing to adjust to when you came here?
Hardest thing to adjust to. I think the hardest thing I had to do was tone down my accent so that people could actually understand me.
Your Scottish brogue was a little too intense.
It was just a little bit too much for some people.
you slip into it every once in a while, especially if you're drinking.
You should hear me when I'm on the phone with my mom.
I believe it.
You would not understand a word I was saying.
Yeah, that's funny. Let's see. Did you experience any hostility or bias when you first moved here?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
And I feel like possibly my experience was different from a lot of immigrants because... Mm-hmm. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
I don't look any different than anybody else here.
Yeah.
So I feel like I did not experience that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whereas, you know, your husband, George, immigrated from Peru, right?
Yes.
So he probably experienced something that was a lot different.
I don't even think he did because
really?
He's not...
And he also lives in California, Southern California.
Right.
Where there are a lot of people with the same skin tone and speak the same language.
And he's very light also. So yeah. I feel like he, I mean, you know, he could pass as not being Peruvian, yeah. you know, because he is so light.
Yeah, that makes sense. What's one thing you miss about your home country that America doesn't have?
That America doesn't have. It's very hard to find the food, like traditional food.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard. I mean, you gotta go all the way to Santa Monica, and there's one bar that has a little gift shop attached to it that sells somewhat authentic food.
What kind of food are you thinking of that you can't find anywhere?
Like,
I don't know any Scottish
things
food.
Things like meat pies and haggis, and see, I miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those foods that are just traditional to your native country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been anywhere in California that sells any of that. So
right, yeah, there's that. There's, like I said, there's a bar in... Oh, God, that's Christy. I was trying to text a while.
We can pause. All right. Do you identify as American?
That is a really, really good question. Because, you know, the Olympics are going on right now. And I have been so rooting for all the Americans. And I always have. And I think that's because we have kids.
Yeah.
Who were born here who are American. And it's like, I really don't care if the British guy wins, the British woman wins the gold medal in the skeleton or whatever. You know, it's really, I think I do identify as America.
Yeah. When do you think that started to change? When do you think you made the shift from identifying as Scottish or British and now you identify as American?
I think probably when the kids were of school age.
Okay.
I think probably that was, you know, because, you know, they had to learn the Pledge of Allegiance and mm-hmm. the National Anthem and all of that. And so
got every American holiday off of school.
Exactly. And
so you kind of learned all of our holiday customs.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Did you make any significant sacrifices when you came here?
I mean, not having my family around, I mean, that's the biggest sacrifice of all.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if anything, when anything happens, you know, like when my grandparents died, that was really hard. Because I can't just pick up and go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just impossible. You know, so I think having those family ties, or mm-hmm. that's probably the biggest sacrifice.
Yeah, like when the kids were born, not having
your
mom here.
Yeah, exactly. That not having sense. That family, that extended family mm-hmm. unit. We have it a little bit on George's side, but on my side, I don't have anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, George has all his brothers here. So we do have extended family, but not from my side.
Makes sense. How old were the kids when they first met their grandparents?
Oh, let's see, my mom's been out several times. Eric was like 6 months old when she first came out, and then she came out again when I was pregnant with Kirsty, so then Eric was almost four, and then she came out again when Kirsty was like 2, almost 3. My dad met Eric first when Eric was probably about a year and a half, and then he came out again when, let's see, he's been out 3 times, came out again when Kirsty was about 6 or 7, I think.
Oh wow.
And then he was just came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
right before, yeah, Kirsty was a sophomore.
And you've been back, what, once or twice?
Not at all.
Not at all? You've never been back to Scotland?
I can't go back.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I can go back,
but you can't come back here.
I can't come back here. Not yet. Sucks. That's all in process. Oh, we're finally getting all that sorted out.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good.
We have attorneys and we're all...
Yay.
It's all getting taken care of.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. You've been here long enough.
I know.
You think you should be naturalized by now.
I know.
You think it would be like common law marriage or something. Like, after so long, it's just a thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, you used to be able to claim citizenship from your kids when they were born. It used to be when they were 5.
Okay.
And then they changed it to when they were 18. And then they changed it to when they were 21. So we had to wait till Eric was 21 before we could do anything.
Yeah.
And... it's taken this long to get out all the paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be taken care of and a lot of stuff that needs to be in place before you can even make that first step.
Is it, I assume it is a daunting process just because there is a lot of paperwork involved. Mm-hmm. Is it a scary one too, thinking that, especially in the current immigration climate?
It is very scary to think you are putting yourself out there as being an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
As being undocumented. You are providing information to the government that you are undocumented.
And that you exist.
And that you exist. Yeah. And that you're exist. Here. And that's scary.
Yeah.
You know, but...
do you think it would have been the scary example... 5-6 years ago while Obama was in office?
No.
During the Trump administration?
Yeah. I wouldn't have hesitated. If we could have done it 5 or 6 years ago, we would have done it in a heartbeat, but we had to wait till Eric was 21.
Yeah.
You know, so we couldn't do it. And then when he did turn 21, there was just so much stuff to take care of that it's gotten to this point now is when we're finally starting to...
Get through the process,
yeah.
Do you think you might have an easier time getting naturalized status compared to your husband? Just based upon place of origin?
Yeah. I think it's an easier process for me than it is for him. Just because of where I came from.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you or did you ever regret moving to America? At any point in time. Could have changed.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think when things happen at home and you know that you can't go. Like I said, when my grandparents died. I couldn't go when my brother died. That was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That was worse than my grandparents because that was unexpected and, you know, just... that was, I mean, the knowing that that was going on at home and that I couldn't just take up, you know, go get a plane ticket and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that at that point, it's like, why did I even, you know, come here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that hits you hard when, you know, you can't go and be with your family.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How long have you lived here? It's okay. You need a minute?
We're good.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay, I know. It's a tough one.
We're good.
I'll give you a second.
All right, I'm good.
All right. So, how long had you lived here when that stuff started happening, losing family members?
Let's see. My grandfather died when the kids were kind of little. I think Eric was about maybe 7 or 8 when my grandfather died, and then a couple of years after that, my grandmother died, and then about 11 years ago was when my brother died.
Mm-hmm.
That was the toughest one.
Yeah.
The grandparents, they were old and, we
kind of
expected it for, especially my grandmothers. Every time my mom called, I was expecting her to tell me that she had passed because she was old and she had dementia and we were kind of prepared for that.
Yeah.
But, we weren't prepared for my brother. Yeah. That's for sure.
How many siblings do you have?
Three brothers.
Three brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. You seem like someone who grew up with lots of brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not ultra feminine, which I think is something that comes with the territory when you have lots of sisters.
I had to grow up tough.
Yeah.
Having three brothers.
Are they all older?
It was two older, one younger.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They were not nice brothers to me either. They were...
It's probably because they're Scottish.
I had to fight for everything. Oh, my God.
Sounds about right. I mean, well, you know how many sisters I have, so same. It's just they're a little more catty. Do you have to miss anything? Obviously, missing the passing of family members is difficult. Did you have to miss other events, too, like weddings and whatnot?
Yeah, of course. My little brother got married, and, it's... Then, when he had his son and, you miss all of that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
To see nieces and nephews and stuff.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Were you told anything about moving to America before you moved here, be it from friends, family, colleagues, parents, warnings or encouragement?
Not as far as, oh my God, don't do it. Everyone was very supportive. They were like, you know what? If this is something you feel like you need to do, then go do it.
Okay.
Make your life, do whatever you're going to do. Everyone was pretty supportive. I don't think anyone was like all doom and gloom and like, oh my God, don't go. And,
Can you describe one of your happiest memories since you moved here?
One of my happiest memories? Probably the birth of the kids, I would say.
Yeah.
Those were the happiest times.
Yeah.
Definitely. Buying the house was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big milestone, especially for someone who's an undocumented immigrant. Mm-hmm. Being able to buy a home.
Yeah.
That's, for somebody who's even a naturalized citizen here, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy and it drives me nuts that we were able to do that. And we're undocumented. George pays taxes. Can you believe that? He has a business, pays his taxes.
Yeah. He owns his own business.
Yes.
And he's owned that business as long as I've known you. And I've known you my whole life.
He's owned that business since I was pregnant with Eric. So that's 24 years.
That's right there. The same age as me. Eric and I are 4 months apart.
Yeah.
3 months. Yeah.
Yeah. It drives me insane.
That's crazy.
That we are contributing to society. We're still in this situation.
Struggling to become naturalized citizens. That's insane.
And the whole citizenship, that's going to take a long time. The first step is the getting legal residency. That's your first step.
That's the green card.
Green card, yes. The whole citizenship thing.
You have to keep the green card for an allotted amount of time before you can get citizenship.
Right.
Too.
I'm not sure the exact timing of
that. It's a few years, I think.
It's a few years, yeah. Because George's brother just recently got his citizenship. That's also why we had to wait.
Yeah.
We couldn't just wait for Eric to be 21 because he had to be proved... He had to be able to prove that he was financially able to support us in any way.
Eric?
If he had to, yes.
Oh, boy.
For him to be our sponsor...
Wow.
For him to petition for us... He had to prove that he could financially support us, which he couldn't. He was 21 years old.
Yeah.
So we also...
And a parent. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So not only does he have to petition for us, we also have to have George's brother be our sponsor.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for him to get his citizenship so that he could sponsor us.
Makes sense.
So
that's crazy.
It's a crazy process.
That's insane.
It really is. It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. What do you know about the citizenship test that you will supposedly have to take?
Not a lot.
I've heard it's very difficult, even for citizens.
Well, the way I look at it, I know people who have taken it. George's extended family, there's a few of them have taken it, and I figure if they can pass it, then I'm golden.
It's funny.
And I know, I mean, that's a long way down the line. And
yeah.
I know there's the books and everything.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to study and everything.
I can help you.
I think I'll be good.
American Studies major here. I can help you. So what, and I think we kind of already answered this, but just to reiterate, what are you most proud of? Outside, it could be outside of like the kids, because obviously those are a given.
What am I most proud of?
Since coming here, of course.
I think the fact that, you know, George and I have made it as undocumented, you know, to this point in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we've made it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a pretty nice life. I think I'm pretty proud of that. The fact that I came here with, like I said, $1,000 in my pocket, and here we are.
Yeah, sitting in your gorgeous living room at your nice apartment, and
yeah, I'm pretty proud of that.
And you've,
you know,
got a kid in college, and
yes,
another kid who's parenting an awesome little boy, and
yeah,
has his own place now with his girlfriend. So
we're I think we've done all right.
That's good. let's see. For your great-grandchildren listening now, is there any wisdom you want to pass on to them if they want to move to another country?
I would say, think about it hard, but if it's something you really want to do, then go for it.
Even if you only have $1,000 in your pocket?
Even if you only have $100 in your pocket, go for it. If this is something you feel the need to do, then just do it.
All right. Well, I think that's it for our interview. I can't think of any other questions. Are there any other parting comments you want to make?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you, Susan.
No worries. Sorry for getting all emotional and
that. It comes with the territory. It's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's just, you know, that whole, that still gets me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would get anybody. I think if I were in the same situation and I couldn't go home,
mm-hmm.
you know, for fear of,
when we get this whole, like I said, we have an attorney now who apparently is awesome. I haven't actually met him. I've met the paralegals who are dealing with everything, but this guy has a good, really good reputation.
That's good.
He's not one of these little, you know, rinky dink freaking backstreet attorneys. He's like got this freaking, I mean, his office is downtown on like the 29th floor.
Oh, wow.
One of those big parks. Like,
does he have his own firm?
It's his own firm.
Nice.
Apparently he's awesome. His offices are filled with pictures of people with green cards and passports.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's just, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, George's petition has actually been submitted already. And mine's, Eric just signed all the paperwork last night for mine, so, yeah.
Now, I'm under the impression that when you obtain citizenship for America, you have to renounce your citizenship for other countries.
Not always.
Not always?
No, you can have dual citizenship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
If you are presented with that being your only option, are you ready to renounce your citizenship for Scotland?
That's a good question. I would probably have to, because quite honestly, if I'm going to be living in here, like, living here for the rest of my life, I want to be able to have a say in what's going on. I want to be able to vote. So to do that, I would have to get citizenship. Mm-hmm. And if that meant I had to give up my British citizenship, then so be it. I would probably have to wait until Kirsty gets her British passport, because she can get her. She just has to, you know,
apply
find the money, apply for it. And there's actually a lot of paperwork involved with that too. We have to prove that her grandparents are British, and it's not just from me. There's a whole process for her too.
Wow.
So I've promised her that I would not, if I ever had to give up my British citizenship, I would not do it until she gets her dual citizenship.
Makes sense. But
I honestly think that it is possible to have dual citizenship. I think it depends where you come from.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I know people who've lived here for a long time and have citizenship and who still have their British passports.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like I know people who are British and then Canadian people who have dual citizenship that weren't born here.
Yeah, I think it depends where you come from.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think that George's brother gave up his Peruvian citizenship. I don't know.
Well, that'd be cool if you could have dual, because then you could go back and forth whenever you wanted.
I mean,
you had the money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. First thing we're planning on doing is...
We're actually arguing
about whether we go to Peru or Scotland first.
You just write it on like a die. There's six sides. So three sides can say Peru, three sides say Scotland. You just roll it. It's a 50-50 gamble where you go. That or keep an eye on the plane tickets. Whoever's cheaper first.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Kirstie's convinced, she goes, you know, if you guys get everything taken care of, you know, before I do my semester abroad, she goes, you guys could like travel with me. She goes, you can either come with me when I go and get me settled in, or come at the end of my semester and we can travel Europe together.
Yeah. She's too funny. That's so funny. Where's she doing her semester abroad?
She's settled on Madrid.
Madrid? Mm-hmm. Fiona wants to do Spain also.
Yeah.
When's she going to do hers? Next fall?
No, next spring.
Next spring.
Yeah.
Fiona said she wants to do... I think she wants to do Barcelona in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although, at New Year's, and, you know, we were trying to convince... Fiona was also talking about doing a whole year abroad.
Oh, Jesus, I know.
But can you imagine the two of those...
Living together in Spain.
I try at the
not
same
to.
Time.
Oh my god. Just a train ride away from each other.
Yeah.
Or even if they're in the same city.
Apparently where Fiona is going to do her semester abroad is like a 30-minute train ride from where we're from Madrid.
Oh boy. So that means like that's like if I could see. Oh god, I would try not to picture Fiona and Kirsty in another country together.
Because
I already know what the two of them are like in this country.
And I know Kirsty is planning on doing her 21st birthday in Amsterdam.
Oh,
she's
Jesus.
Got it planned already.
Fiona goes with her.
It's my fault because she says, Mom, she goes, I'm going to turn 21 when I'm in Europe. She goes, where do you think would be a really good place to go? And I'm like, well, what about... And then just off the top of my head, I said, what about Amsterdam? And then I thought, what the fuck am I saying to this girl? Why am I sending my 21-year-old daughter to Amsterdam? Hey, Jenna, knock it off.
So I take
You're not supposed to be here.
I take it those are experiences you garnered from when you lived in Europe.
I never went to Amsterdam, but I heard a lot of stories.
I have a lot of friends who live in Europe, and several of them are from... I have friends from Holland, and I have a friend from Norway, and they spend a lot of time in Amsterdam.
Kirsty drives me crazy. She's got this idea in her head that she wants to backpack around Europe. And I keep telling her, Kirsty, you know, if you want to do that, fine, but can you find someone to go with? She goes, but I like to travel on my own. I'm like, Kirsty, it's very dangerous to travel around.
My friend Valerie backpacked through Asia by herself.
Kirsty's roommate last year, she had a gap year, and she traveled around pretty much the whole freaking world.
That's crazy.
Backpacking by herself.
Yeah, my friend Valerie had...
Apparently there was nights where her mom literally did not know where she was. And I said, Kirstie, I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, she would call her mom and say, yeah, I'm on my way to this place. And yeah, I think I might stay at this hostel. And like her, literally her mom did not know where she was.
Yeah, I knew people like that. It's crazy.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if I'd be able to take that kind of risk.
No, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but Kirstie's got it into her head.
Yeah.
Oh, please. And then I'm like, as soon as the word Amsterdam came out of my mouth, I'm like, what the fuck did I just say? It's like... Couldn't you just go spend your 21st birthday with grandma? You know, it's like...
She's kind of at the point where she's like, well, I've already been to Scotland twice, Mom.
She's going back again.
Is she?
Yeah, she's got this... She's doing another one of those EF trips.
Okay.
This one is going to be... It's going to be right at the start of the summer. Nice. Right after she finishes school. She's doing London, Paris, Barcelona.
Wow.
And she's extending it another week after so she can go spend some time with my mom.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's excited.
Very cool.
Yeah. She says, you know, Mom, she goes, everyone up here says, oh, you're so spoiled and you get to go on all these amazing trips. Kirstie pays for it all herself.
I was gonna say, she works her butt off.
She pays for it all herself. We don't pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, she does her work study and we let her keep that money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means she's not calling us constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, I need $20. Oh, I need to put gas in my car. Or yeah. Whatever. That's her money.
It's like Fiona's thing, too. Fiona works on our campus. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's supposed to go towards tuition, and originally it was going to go towards tuition, but then we thought, well, you know, if we take that for tuition, then she's just going to be calling us every 5 minutes asking for money, you know.
Yeah, no, it just makes more sense that she keeps it as pocket money.
But then, I mean, she pays for these trips with what she does over the summer, you know?
That's awesome. All right, I will.
Hey, what's up?